One of the nice things about being on the radio here at WCCO is I get a chance to throw out a birthday shout out. So I got it because these are all so far this month. These are all in November. My sister Jean had a birthday. My sister Ann has a birthday. I missed hers 2 days ago. My brother Dan has a birthday coming up. My brother Jim has a birthday. These are all in November. Makes me think that the folks had something particular going on around Valentine's Day. I don't even want to put a lot of thought into it, but going back that way, I mean, it's like, really? Valentine's Day? Are we Valentine's Day babies? You just don't think of them as being that romantic. We're hoping to connect here with Julio Ojeda Zapata coming up here in just a couple of minutes to talk about some electronics, some of the latest in electronics. He's been fiddling with his iPad mini. That just sounds good, doesn't it? What are you doing? I'm fiddling with my iPad mini. Can a guy get some privacy? Also, ask him about the Microsoft Surface. You've been seeing the ads for that of late. And here's an interesting story in the news this morning. This is from New York Times. Investors might be finally falling out of love with Apple. Despite the buzz that's been going around about the iPad mini since it was unveiled and actually, I think, first made available to everybody on November 2nd, they say that Apple shares have fallen 20% since their September peak. Remember when they topped out right about $700 a share? And everybody was all whipped up about them? Well, now they're down to $558, according to the New York Times. So Wall Street sees profit liabilities there. New products tend to have thinner margins at first until the manufacturing process gets streamlined and the volume picks up. Foxconn, that's the folks who makes all of Apple stuff, admitted they can't keep up with the demand for the iPad mini, reporting that we can't really fulfill Apple's requests. Curious look at the share, though. And also, while the stock has been going down a bit, Android's market share has jumped a bit. Well, somebody who's got his fingers on the pulse of all of these things going on is Julio Ojeda Zapata. He is he's the tech columnist of the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and we chuck in from time to time. Julio, did you have a chance to play with your iPad mini now for a bit?
Yeah, I have one on loan from Apple, and it's a very nice device. It has some downsides, but overall it's very, very nice.
Share with me what are the downsides, because, you know, I don't have any kind of a pad or a tablet, and I'm thinking maybe I should have one. Maybe now is the time to get one so I'm not lugging my laptop with me everywhere I go. And is the iPad mini I should consider, or what are these downsides, a couple of downsides?
Well, number one, the screen doesn't have the sharpness that the larger iPad has. It doesn't have that Retina display, which people that are buying their first iPad will probably won't care. They might not even notice. But it's kind of the screen quality is kind of a downgrade from the iPad that existed before. And the price, it's a little pricey compared to other tablets of roughly that same size. I mean, you can get a very, very nice tablet for $200 from Amazon or from Google.
Wait, now can I get a tablet from Amazon or Google that will do everything that the iPad mini will do?
Yeah, well, you took me to my next point, which is my personal opinion is it's all about the apps. You know, which tablet ecosystem has the best apps, and that's without a doubt Apple. The Amazon and Google Nexus tablets are Android based, and there are a ton of Android apps. There are as many Android apps as there are Apple apps. The problem is very few of those Android apps are customized for a tablet screen. They're mostly phone apps.
Ah.
They look ugly, whereas on the iPad, there are a ton of iPad native apps that are very nicely designed. So if you can afford the extra cost, it's worth it because you're just going to get a better experience. It's, I think the software consideration is more important, assuming you can afford, you know, the extra cash outlay.
Okay, now what is the iPad? What's the retail on the iPad mini?
Starts at $329 for a Wi-Fi based model.
And what is the the retail for the regular full blown iPad? Isn't that up over what is that $500-$600?
It's up there. You know, it's roughly the same price as a low cost Windows laptop. Whereas the Mini is a lot. It's more affordable than iPads of that size, but it's a lot more expensive than iPads of that size, but it's a lot cheaper than a full-size iPad, definitely.
And how is it for the portability? That was supposed to be one of the big things, that by shrinking it down a little bit, making it thinner and lighter, how is it for the portability?
Absolutely fantastic. It's very thin, very light. It's very easy to hold in one hand when you're reading a book, which you can't do with the iPad because you'll get tired. I've tucked it into a little side pocket on my backpack, so it doesn't take up any space at all. I barely know it's there. So in terms of portability, you know, if you want an iPad that's massively portable, the Mini is definitely the way to go.
I'm concerned too, curious about more so the battery life. So you charge this thing overnight, and then are you going to be able to use it the whole darn day?
Yeah, I found the battery life to be acceptable. The iPhone 5, I have an iPhone 5 that I'm talking to you on right now, and the battery life on the iPhone 5 is not as good as it should be. The iPad Mini has better battery life, but it's larger, so it has a slightly larger battery. And I have found the battery life to be pretty good.
Okay.
But I'm the guy that carries a charger everywhere, for the car, for the home, for the office, though.
You're always, ready to go just in case. Now, because we're coming into this time of the year, you know, a couple of weeks away, Target's already teasing their holiday sales and their Black Friday sales. They're sending out teasers and letting us know what to expect when it comes. So a lot of people will gear up. And, of course, we go electronics at this time of the year. So we're starting to go through this information. And I'm sure you and I will talk again before the holidays here.
Oh, sure. No problem.
But tell me now, because I'm seeing a lot of ads for this Microsoft Surface. And at first, when I'm looking at this, because of the slickness of the ads, I think they're very well-produced television commercials. I didn't know. I thought maybe I was looking at an Apple thing. But is that something, a different tool from Microsoft?
It's the tablet that Microsoft, Microsoft doesn't usually make its own hardware, but it made its own tablet. It's a tablet that's intended to compete directly with the iPad. It's roughly the same price as the full-size iPad, but it's more rectangular, it's more laptop-like, and it comes with a cover that, when you flip it down, it has a keyboard on the inside.
Ah, so you don't have to go buy and purchase that keyboard attachment.
Yeah, the keyboard is a separate purchase, but it's very nice in the sense that you can flip it down. The Surface has a kickstand on the back. You flip out the kickstand, you flip down the keyboard. There are two keyboards. One is a touch keyboard. One is a keyboard with actual keys that are mechanical. With either of those keyboards, you flip it down and you can have sort of a mini laptop-like experience. It's very good for productivity. You know, if you want to work on a Word document or something. The problem is the Surface is very buggy. It has some performance issues that need to be fixed in the software. And the other problem that it has is there's very, very, very few apps for it at the moment. It won't run. It doesn't run regular Windows PC programs.
Oh,
you have to use apps that are customized for the specific operating system. And there's a huge scarcity of decent apps for it right now. It's compared to Android and Apple. So that's a bit and you heard me say before, it's all about the apps. In this case, the app prognosis for the Surface is dismal at the moment. You know, that'll certainly change.
Okay. Chatting with Julio Ojeda Zapata. He writes these things, too, for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And anytime you go to TwinCities.com, you can just look in tech, and we'll find it right there. We're going to get after this. I got to do it. I want to do a quick timeout. I've got two more questions I want to follow up with here.
Yeah, no problem.
So let me put you on hold. Julio is going to stick around. Two more questions, because we're saying goodbye to something that has been around with us for a while here. And I want to get the take on that when we continue on WCCO. Oh, that reminder. Matt Rauch coming up with some TV and a milestone for Family Guy. We'll talk about that. Julio Ojeda Zapata is on with me. We're talking some tech stuff. I wanted to ask you about instant messaging. And I am kind of going away, and they're going to focus more on Skype. What's the story behind that, Julio?
Well, instant messaging isn't really going away. What's happening is Microsoft is killing its existing instant messaging program, Windows Messenger, and it's the Skype, which Microsoft now owns, has its own instant messaging in it. So essentially, Microsoft is designating Skype as its instant messaging client. And so you can still instant message, but you'll do it through Skype, and that's pretty handy because then you can do everything in one program. You can do your phone calls, your video calls, and your instant messaging all in one program. I already do a lot of instant messaging in Skype because I use Skype quite a bit. There's no learning curve. I mean, you just stop using one instant messaging program and start using another.
I use Skype a good deal, at least once a week, when I'm chatting with my son who lives overseas. So it's a way for us to keep in touch. But here's a question. Have they figured out a way to monetize that? Are they making any money with that?
Well, it's part of Microsoft right now, and I don't think there's a lot of pressure for them to specifically monetize Skype. What they're doing is just rolling it together, you know, with their other software programs and you know, selling them as packages, you know, Windows and
okay.
Office. And this is just going to be a piece of that. I don't think that there's a lot of pressure for them to make money off Skype specifically, but it's sort of a big picture kind of a thing.
Okay, and finally here, before I let you go, have you had a chance to monkey around at all yet with Windows 8? Have you taken a look at that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very nice. I'm running it on a Lenovo ThinkPad, and it's very, very nice. It's very different. Like, the start menu is gone, and what you have is the start screen, which has these color tiles. And that's how you sort of pick your programs. So it's for people that are used to the old way of using Windows, this is going to be a very kind of a jarring change. But I think it's a good one. It's a very, very interesting operating system. And what's particularly striking about it is it's how different it is from Apple's Mac OS X.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple and Microsoft have gone in dramatically different directions after many years of being, you know, very similar. And that's good because I like to see a variety out there in the tech world.
And very soon, when we go to buy new computers, when we're buying computers, it will be just automatically loaded with Windows 8, right? In much the same way
that's already the case. And these tiles I mentioned are very touch friendly, and Microsoft is emphasizing touch computers. Like if you go to the Microsoft store at the Mall of America, every doggone computer in there has a touch screen. So touch is going to be very big. Apple doesn't put touchscreens on its Macs, but Microsoft is increasingly putting touchscreens on its laptops, desktops, everything.
Well, a lot of good stuff in here. So, hey, one final thing, just to go back a little bit. We started out talking about the iPad Mini. If I haven't had a pad before, a tablet, and that would be a good one to get because it's all about the apps, as you said, and I won't notice the difference in the Retina display or lack of a Retina display because I didn't have one previously.
Yeah, my advice is if your budget allows for, you know, a $329 expense, definitely get the iPad Mini. If you're like on a really tight budget, the Nexus Google Nexus 7 and the Amazon Kindle HD are very nice tablets. Don't get me wrong; they have in fact better screens than the iPad Mini, but they're just not as versatile because the apps are not as good.
Okay. All right. A lot of good stuff today, Julio. Thank you so much. And we're going to have to check in, I'm sure, as we get into the holiday shopping season here and throw down some bargains, some good ideas, some new gadgets and gimmicks to look for, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
All right. We'll talk again. Julio Ojeda Zapata, you find him in the St. Paul Pioneer Press. It is 1057 WCCO.